Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Psalm 118 and 17, very simply, I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. It's the lesson this morning, I've taught on this before, but I want to talk about the reward of the refusal. And so let's pray together this morning for God just to fill our heart with His Word. Let us hear what the Spirit is saying. Lord, we thank You so much this morning for Your Word and the promises that are contained in it. Today, I pray that we'll hear it, that it'll touch our hearts, change us, challenge us, help us to be better, cause us, Lord, to do the things that You want us to do. We love You so much. Thank You for Your Word today. Bless everyone in this house today in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise as you're seated this morning. God is good. We're so thankful for Him today. On Wednesday night, we were talking about victory, and thanks be to God who gives us the victory. The victory is ours. But, you know, victory is given. He says He gives us victory, but we've got to take that and accept that and walk in that. And oftentimes, when we think of reward, we think a lot of times about what we maybe agree to do to get it. You know, Jesus told His people, He was teaching them and said, when you give and when you pray and when you fast on these three things, He said, your Father that sees these things in secret will reward you openly. And we know that if we are willing and obedient, we shall eat the good of the land. It's no secret of what we get when we do the right things. If we do the things that we're supposed to do, we get the things we're supposed to get. If you sow, you will reap. That's scripture. We understand that. But there's also times where you've got to have this, I'm standing here and I'm not going to be moved. You have to have a refusal in your spirit. You need to be able to refuse some things so that you can have what you want. When we talked Wednesday night about Shema, he refused to leave that piece of ground. And because he refused to run, he refused to hide, he refused to cower down no matter what it looked like in the natural, because he refused to give up, God wrought a great victory in his life. And many times we would understand that if we would just refuse to give in, refuse to surrender, understanding the things that we have. If I surrender, look at all I'm surrendering. And so I've got to remember that the reason that we have this victory that God has given a lot of times is because we refuse to run. We refuse to surrender. We have made our mind up, I'm not going to let this change my mind. It's when we go through something, I'm not going to let this rob me of what I already have that's great from God. And a lot of times, if when we see that happen in the house of God, is people can be shaken very hard by this world. And the scripture tells us in one place, everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And there are times where we're going to have things happen to us. And that's why Paul would write things, like I said Wednesday night, to remind us that we have victory. Peter would say, you know, don't think that it's strange that you're going through this fiery trial. And they would always remind the saints so that they would not only understand victory belongs to them, but it puts that refusal in their spirit that I'm not going to accept defeat. I'm going to refuse the attack of the enemy. I'm going to refuse this bad news. I'm going to refuse being cast down by it. I'm going to hear it. I may go through it, but I refuse to give up what I've got. We used to sing songs, you know, I've come too far to fail him now. In other words, I refuse to give in. And we'd sing, I shall not be moved. And we would just sing that chorus over and over. I shall not be moved. It's just building up in our mind. I refuse to let the things of this world move me from the promises of God. And I refuse to let my own emotions wreck my walk with God. And I refuse to let my flesh get the better of me. I'm going to mortify the deeds of my flesh. And I'm going to make sure that I am standing firm on the promises. I refuse to give up or to give in. And many times victory comes through simple determination. I'm just not going to be moved. I refuse to give up. But many lose simply because they surrender when things get tough. But if you refuse to give in, no matter what's going on, you know, I've mentioned one of my favorite movies growing up. I mean, and I've mentioned this before, but I just love the movie Rocky. I love it. He gets beat to death, but he will not give up. He keeps getting up. He refuses. I talked about this not too long ago, but I said one of the times he was talking to his wife, he said, I just want to go the distance, and I want to make it till the bell rings. I don't want to be knocked out early. If I don't win, I want to go the distance. And he refused. So every time, you know, there's one time right there toward the end, and he's knocked down, and it's like, this is it. But he gets up. Man, his eyes are swollen shut. His blood, I mean, he's just sweating. And Apollo's standing over there like shaking his head because he came in, because he's like, you know, come on, let's go, let's keep going. And he refused to give up, and he got the goal that he was aiming for, to hear the bell ring, to go the distance. And because we have been given exceeding great and precious promises, we need to get that refusal. When we haven't seen what God has promised come to pass yet, that's the word, I say it all the time, that's the word, yet. It's coming, but we'll never see it if we just give up when the tough gets going. We have to remember, rejoice not against me, O my enemy, for when I fall, I shall arise. He's saying, I refuse to stay down. I refuse to lay here and just give up. And you know, God tried to teach this to Joshua. You can't stay flat on your face when things go wrong. We need to fall down and pray sometimes. Don't get what I'm wrong, but when Israel had just won a great victory against Jericho, and the fear of them was out throughout the land, and then they go up against this little bitty company of people, Ai, and they're defeated. And so Joshua just falls on his face, and God said, get up. Get up. You can't fight nobody laying on your face. Excuse me. You can't fight anybody. You can't defend. You can't swing. You can't move. You can't get out of the way. You can't do nothing just laying here feeling sorry for yourself, because that was it. He was just like, what is going on? What is happening? And God said, you've got to refuse. There was something that went wrong. He said, you've got to refuse the things that are wrong. Get things right, and you're going to have the victory. But you can lay here and be run over, or you can refuse to give up. You can refuse to surrender. You can refuse to quit trusting God, or to quit trusting the enemy when he's lying to you, or your flesh when it's lying to you. And you can just accept that God has given me the victory. I shall not die. I refuse to die in this. When the scripture says the dead know not anything. I refuse to die in this situation. I've heard it preached, Brother Arnold, I think, preached, don't die in your dilemma. And just, you know, I refuse to die in this situation. I shall not die. That's a fact. He's making a statement. God has given me life, and life more abundantly. The thief came to steal and to kill and destroy, but Jesus came that I might have life and have that life more abundantly. And so I'm, instead of dwelling in the destruction and the death and the devastation, I'm going to hang on to that life. I refuse to let this be my testimony. I refuse to let this be my legacy or be my story. I shall live and not die. I shall not die but live. And then he said, you know, when you have that kind of refusal, he said, you're going to have a story to tell, and I will declare the works of the Lord. You're going to have a testimony. Listen, that's where your testimony comes from, for those places that you refuse. Even in repentance, you're saying, I refuse to live the way I used to live. When you are buried in his name, you are refusing to carry this sin around any longer. Yes, you're accepting and you're obeying that, but you're making a statement, I refuse to be the same person. You're a new creature. I refuse to be the same as I used to be. And when you are filled with the Spirit, you receive the Spirit of adoption. You're saying, I refuse to be my own anymore. I'm His. With the Spirit of Christ, we are His. And I refuse to be my own man anymore. Or as Brother Huff was saying, I used to be the Lord of my life, but now I got a brand new Lord. He said, I refuse to take that role on anymore. I've given that to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is Lord over my life. Praise God. There is a reward in the refusal. There is a place to walk upright before God and walk in victory. He leads you through the valley of the shadow of death. I refuse to run from him anymore. I refuse to ignore him anymore. I refuse to chase this world anymore. And we have to do that. We have to be determined and make up our mind about those things and make sure we understand that the refusal will bring the reward. There's scripture over abundantly about this. In one of my favorite passages, Jeremiah 31:15 says, thus saith the Lord, there was a voice heard in Ramah, lamentation, bitter weeping. Rachel was weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were not. But then the Lord gave her a word. Thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping and thy eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded. She refused, and the Lord said, your work shall be rewarded, saith the Lord. Instead of just accepting, that word refuse there means refusing to be comforted. The word comfort, to accept pity, or to be consoled or eased, or even repent for what you're going through. And she said, no way, I don't want your pity. I want my miracle. I don't want your consoling. I want my miracle. I'm not going to ease my mind by just accepting this is how it is. I refuse to believe that this is how it is. She would not be comforted. She said, I'm not going to repent over my prayer. I'm not going to turn back and walk away. I refuse to be denied for this miracle. And he said, you're going to be rewarded, and they shall come again from the land of the enemy, and there is hope in thine end. But some people never see the end because they give up. But when you refuse, when you say, I shall not die, I've not given in to this, I refuse to be comforted over this, I believe God is able. The scripture says in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. This is this story exactly. Rachel was weeping and refused to be comforted. She was seeking God, and she refused to accept anything less than a miracle, than the return of her children. I will not be comforted concerning this. I've invested. I have lived. I have walked. I have prayed. I have fasted. I have sought God, and I will not give up on this. I refuse to be comforted. And God said, now, there'll be a time weeping endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. She refused to be comforted, and God said, I will reward your work. God blessed and said, your children will come in. There's hope in thine end, saith the Lord, that thy children will come again to their own border. God's going to bring them back. Praise God. I'm thankful that when we're willing and obedient and we're doing the things that God wants us to do, but that refusal, I never want to refuse God, but I'm going to refuse this world. Love not the things of the world. The scripture tells us don't love the things that are in the world. Refuse those things. Don't let them in. Come out, be separate, saith the Lord. Refuse to be conformed. Present yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. That's your reasonable service. Refuse to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We got to learn that I don't have to accept it. In the world, people just accept things. This is just how it is. This is what it's going to be. And I'll just have to figure out how to live with it. But with God, we can refuse this stuff. I can refuse these offers. And I can just trust that God is going to come through. You've got to figure out, what is your motivation here? What's your motivation for your miracle? In Mark chapter 10. In verse 46, we know the story of Bartimaeus. We know this story very well. It says when they came to Jericho and he went out, his disciples and a great number of people, there was blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sitting by the highway begging. But he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth that was coming by. He began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried out the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still, commanded him to be called. They called the blind man, "Be of good comfort, he calls for you." And he threw away his garments, he rose and he came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said, "What do you want me to do?" The blind man said, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, your faith has made you whole." He would not be silenced. He would not let other people console him. "It'll be all right. Hey, calm down, Bartimaeus. Listen, I want to see." And so I refuse to lower my voice. I refuse to stop crying out. I refuse, when I know that the Lord is passing by, I'm not going to take a chance on missing him. So I'm going to keep crying out. That reward is in your refusal to quit. I refuse to give up. I refuse to give in. I've come too far to fail him now. I've come too far to break my vow. I've come too far to walk away from this. I've seen too much. I've seen God do too many things to let one thing outweigh all the good that he's ever done. There's never anything happens that is so bad that it will ever outweigh the good that God has done to us in our life. And friend, I know we can have great tragedy in our life. We could have things that feel like it shakes our whole world, that it shakes our foundation, but there is nothing ever happens to us in this life that is greater than the good that God has done. Because nothing can take away what God has given us unless we let it. Unless we let it. We can go through the hardest trial and yet still be saved, because nothing shall be able to separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Nothing. These things, when we belong to him, he said, nothing can pluck you out of my hand. So you can step out of my hand. You can walk away from me. You can put distance between you and your Father, but nothing can drag you away. It got a hold of me. It just drug. No, you followed it. The Bible says, whoever we yield to, that's whose servants we become. We weren't forced into any kind of servitude of our flesh. We yielded to the flesh. We surrendered to the flesh. But now we are dead unto sin and alive unto God. And I refuse to go back to the weak and beggarly elements. I refuse to go back to the things that had no fruit in my life. I refuse those things, but I'm going to hunger and thirst after righteousness. And if I need something, then I'm going to call on God. I'm going to need something. I'm going to keep praying and keep seeking and keep fasting and just keep serving God. I refuse to let someone come in and, just comfort me and console me and pity me and me just, well, it's good to have this attention, and then just surrender. The reward is in the refusal. Bartimaeus would not be quieted. He would not let go. He would not stop. And because he did that, he got his sight. Jesus told him, your faith. Man, faith Sometimes we all think faith is just about speaking some things into existence, but sometimes it's about speaking against things. Sometimes your faith is your refusal. I refuse because I believe God will do it. That's faith. I refuse to quit because I've seen him do too much. I refuse to give in and let these things take me out. You've got to refuse negative voices and negative inputs. Protect your focus. Why are you praying? Why are you living for God? Why did you obey in the first place? Remember, sometimes we have to call to remembrance the former days after we were illuminated, how we endured a great fight of afflictions. You know what that means? We refused to let the afflictions have us. We endured it. We fought it. We stood against it. And we refused to be taken out by it, because early on, oh, there ain't nothing like this life. Well, there still ain't nothing like this life. When it's new and it's exciting, you know, it's just like in a romance, in a marriage, in a relationship at the beginning, there's all these new feelings and all these new things, and you think, man, this is the greatest thing ever. But if you'll endure, you'll find out that 30 years down the road, it's better than it's ever been. You think, man, it can't never get no better than it. You see that woman walking down that aisle, and you're like, whoo, I'm a lucky guy. And you think it won't never get any better than this. But friend, your love will grow and surpass. You'll go through things together. You'll grow stronger together. And that love that you have, that commitment you have, because you refused to quit, because you refused to give in, because you refused, people have said, throw in the towel or do what, you stuck it, because you knew, I remember this is what I wanted, and this is what I still want. And now here it is. Yes, we've been through the valley. We've been through some rough patches. But friend, we've been on the mountaintop, and it's getting better every day. And the reward is in the refusal. Today, people change relationships like they change clothes. I mean, it's just the way it is in this world today. They try it on for a while and say, I don't like the way that looks anymore. It's gone out of season. They just leave it behind. But commitment, and they do that with their walk with God. I got a little trouble, so I came and found him. Got happy for a little bit, but now I think I'll head on back out and try. Never prosper. Double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We've got to refuse that pull of the world, the pull of our flesh, to ease up, to step back, to walk back into the things that we used to be. We got to keep going for God. Keep doing that. Get your victory by rejecting fear. Get your victory by rejecting anxiety. Get your victory by rejecting discouraging words of others. Don't sit around and entertain thoughts that limit you. I said this the other night. Some people, they don't want to go as high as you're going. Let them stay down there then. If they don't want to go, then let them stay there. But I want to be as close to God as I can be. And if that means being in the house of God every time the doors are open, then I'll be there. If it means praying and fasting days at a time, then I'll do that. If it means refusing to listen to this or look at that or go here or go that, friend, if that's what it takes because I want to be closer to God, I'm going to do it. Don't let somebody tell you, you don't have to do that. It don't take all that. Well, maybe it don't take all that to be saved. But if I want to get to where I want to be in God, that's what it takes. And if I want to learn more and know more and be closer and be more like him, then I can't just spend a little bit of time. If you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. And I don't want my walk with God to stop at Acts 2:38. Brother, Acts 2:38 is the most powerful scripture in the book, man. It's the path of salvation. I know it. That's the new birth experience. I know that. Believe me, I know that. A lot of apostolics probably hit me with a tomato for saying that. But I'm telling you, but a lot of people have experienced Acts 2:38 that'll never go any farther. They've experienced new birth, but then they have aborted the life that God wanted them to have because they would not refuse their flesh. They would not refuse the call of others. Because, listen, you make people uncomfortable when you want to be closer to God. People that used to always be comfortable around you will get real uncomfortable when you want to get closer to God. Is that all you talk about is Jesus? Is that all you do is go to church? Is that all you do is read your Bible? I mean, I remember when I first got in, I was like, can you just talk about something else besides church? There ain't nothing better than church. Let's talk about the weather. Okay, it was a sunny Sunday when I went to church. I find a way to get it in there. I mean, you know, yeah. Did you go hunting this weekend? I did, man. When I was in there, I read three chapters into my Bible. It'll consume you. You get closer. Let me tell you, exercise yourself unto godliness. That's a process. Whenever you start out day one of exercising, you're never going to have the endurance or the strength that you'll have a year later if you're consistent in your exercising. Am I right, Matthew? I know, but you never lifted a weight or done anything, and also I got a gym membership. I'm going to try it for a year. And that first day in there, you're like, I don't know if I'm going back. That like to kill me. But I want to be better. I want to be stronger. I want to be healthier. And so there's something driving you, and so you keep going, and you keep going. Consistency is key. Be intentional about it, and you keep going. And a year later, you're like, man, I cannot believe the progress that I made. I can't believe where I am now as compared to where I was a year ago. Well, you know how you got here? One step at a time. And you didn't stop, and you didn't quit, and you refused. On the days you were sore, on leg day, you refused to not show up at the gym because nobody likes leg day. And you just refused when you were hurting, when you were throwing up after your workout, when you were denying, refusing the sugar and refusing the bad food, and you were eating better. And you just kept refusing all the things that would hinder you. And now a year later, you're like, I'm so glad I did this. Reward. Reward. It's the same way with God. Because this world will do everything it can to pull you away. You buried a lot of stuff in the water, but there's a whole group of stuff waiting to get you. And you got to refuse it. And you got to say, I'm not going back into that. I'm not going to go back and make it seven times worse. I'm not going back. I refuse to be identified as that any longer. That's not who I am. And you have to have that refusal in your spirit, accepting of what God's doing, refusing that other offer, because there are two worlds pulling for you. There's those angels waiting to look over the portals of heaven to cheer for your victories, and there's the things of this world that are just waiting to pull you down and to drag you down. And believe me, there are people that will rejoice in your fall. There's people that don't like you being all holy. And they will sit and secretly smile if they see you fall. Because they're like, yeah, they thought it was all that. But you know what? You'd be like that man in the scripture said, when I fall, I shall arise. I refuse to stay down. Then it just makes them even more mad when you get back up. But refuse it. Refuse those voices that try to come against you. The scripture says the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, refusing. People say, I'm saved by grace, saved by grace. Grace will teach you to refuse worldliness. Grace teaches us to refuse ungodliness and to live soberly and just. Righteous in this present world. He'll teach you how to live right. He'll teach you, and you can't live right without a refusal in your spirit. You've got to have that refusal in your spirit. And so figure out what your motivation is. What's your motivation for the miracle? Do you really want it? It's not about trying to compare yourself to anybody else. What do you want your walk with God to be? We used to sing the old hymnal, I Would Not Be Denied. Now, some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about, but some of y'all do. Like Jacob in the days of old, I wrestled with the Lord. You know what I'm singing? You heard that? Brother, they would sing that song and people would run and shout and just, man, they would not be denied because that was what they had felt. They wasn't just singing a song. They were singing, that's me. I'm not going to be denied. I'm going to get. It said, till Jesus came and made me whole, I would not be denied. I refuse to just be a little bit better when I can be whole. I refuse that. I don't want to just feel good for a moment. I want to be whole. And man, I think about that wrestling match with Jacob and that angel. And it said he would not let that angel go. He was wrestling with the angel of the Lord. But you know, the angel of the Lord said, hey, let me go. And he said, I will not let you go except you bless me. Now, when you're just reading it, if you'll stop and think, if that angel wanted to just disappear, he could have just disappeared. I mean, he could have just vanished. Or he could have just slapped Jacob to the ground. I mean, he could have done it. But see, God, I believe just like God, he gives his angels charge. And I want you to go down there and wrestle with Jacob. And he's gonna hold on, fight and hold on to you with everything he's got. But don't be using no superpower and getting away from him. I want you to wrestle with him. I don't want you to kill him. I mean, number one, you're wrestling with an angel. I don't want you to kill him, but I want you to wrestle because I'm going to try him. I want to see if he'll hang on. Because, like I said, the angel could have said, poof, I'm out of here. Or be like that angel that ascended up into a flame of fire. He could just turn into a flame of fire and been gone. Anything. He could let that ladder come down and climbed up that ladder, man. He just, anything. But he didn't. He wrestled. And Jacob was wrestling with the spiritual. And he would not let it go until he got what he was looking for. He refused to let go. And God is seeing, let's see if he'll just keep fighting. Let's see if he'll refuse to surrender. And so God had to, God had to let that angel make him lame. All right, you can touch him, but you can't kill him. And so he touches him, and still he don't let go. He refused it. And because of that, he got a name change. You're no longer Jacob. No, but you're going to be different. You're going to be Israel. And you're going to have power with God, and you have prevailed. And the reward was in his refusal to let it go. A lot of people would have refused to even try that match. Here's an angel. I wonder if the angel showed up and said, hey, dude, let's go. Well, how did that happen? Did he just drop down on him? Did Jacob see him and tackle him? I mean, what? Jump on his back, get him in a headlock? I don't know what. I hope there's video in heaven. And I'd love to see Jacob and the angel. I want to see this. But how did it happen? I don't know. Was it? Could he see anything at all and just knew it was? I don't know. But what I do know is he wouldn't let go. And you're going to wrestle with spiritual things in this fleshly body. But if you'll refuse to let go, then God will bless you. The reward is in that refusal. My clock. In Luke 18, Jesus said, here's a parable for you. Men ought to always pray and not faint. He talked about this woman. She was a widow, and she came in verse 3 of 18 and said, she came to this judge who didn't fear God, didn't fear man. But she came, avenged me of my adversary. And he wouldn't do it. I'm not messing with you. But afterward, he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Hear what the unjust judge said. So he's telling you, this woman would not refuse every day. Avenge me, every day. Crying out every day, I refuse. Hey, would you just go home? Refuse to stop. Men ought to always pray and not faint. Don't ever refuse to quit. Refuse to quit approaching God. Always come to Him. Keep doing it. And He said, won't God, surely if this man will do this for this woman, that God would avenge His own elect, His own children. He would do that for them. He will reward them because they refuse to stop praying. Scripture says, pray without ceasing. Never give up on your prayer. Keep praying it. Well, I've been praying the same prayer for a year. Okay. You got a loved one you've been praying for and they're not where you want them to be. Or you go, well, I've prayed 300 times. Should I keep going? Are they here yet? Then keep going. Did God hear you the first time? He did. He heard you the first time, but keep going. Refuse to quit. Refuse, like Rachel, refuse to be comforted. Refuse to accept good when you can have great. And whenever you get satisfied with good, you'll never see great. And we want to see great. Jesus said, these things I do, you will do, and greater things shall you do. He said, there's great stuff waiting on you. And so we can give up or we can give in. Just remember the promises. God is faithful. We have to be persistent. We have to be intentional. We need to be instant, in season, and out of season. And we need to be not just instant, we need to be insistent. I want to see this God. I want to see this person saved. I want to see this person healed. I want to hear your voice. I want to be used by whatever it is. But keep on praying. Keep on doing it. Refuse to be comforted until your answer comes. When they came and told Jairus that his daughter was already dead, Jesus said, don't be afraid, only believe. And he refused to send Jesus away. But he went back to the house and he refused to bury that child. He refused to plan that funeral. He let the Lord come in and raise his daughter from death. In Hosea 10 and 12, it says, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. I will not stop seeking God until I feel the rain. He said, it's time to seek God until he comes. He said, you keep seeking him till he gets here. We think, I sought him on Tuesday night, so I don't have to do nothing on Wednesday or Thursday or Friday or Saturday. He said, you seek him till he comes and rains righteousness down, until he comes and brings that shower of blessings, until he opens those windows up and pours out. Seek him until. Refuse to stop at one prayer. Pray again. He said, man, even if somebody asked you to go a mile, go two. So what about with the Lord? The Lord's telling us to go with him. Keep going. Keep walking. Keep going. Don't surrender right in the middle. You're so close. We quit so close to our miracle. Keep going for God. It's there. In the scripture, there's a Shunammite woman who was promised a child, and she had a child, but then that child got sick, and it died, and she put him on the bed of the prophet, and she said, saddle up that donkey. We got to go. Where are we going? Just go. It'll be all right. It will be well. And she refused to bury the miracle that God gave her. She could have just said, let's dig a hole. Let's bury our son. We had him for a little while. It was good. He was so sweet, and I loved him so much, and I'm thankful for the time we had, and I'm sure she was. But she said, this is not all. I had plans for him. I wanted to see him married. I wanted to see grandchildren. I wanted to see him take over our family farm, whatever it was. But she said, this is not all. God did not give me this just so I could bury it. And she refused to bury that miracle. And she found the man of God, and he came back to the house and prayed for that child, and the child was raised up from the dead. But what if she had buried him? She refused to give in. He's not breathing, I know it. He's dead, I know it. But I refuse to believe this is all. I refuse to quit, and I shall be rewarded. Job refused to surrender his integrity. He refused to curse God. He refused to die. I shall not die, but live. And God blessed the latter end of Job greater than his blessing. Than his beginning, the reward was in his refusal. I will not let go of my integrity. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow down to the idol that was to worship the idol that the king had set up, and they were promoted. Daniel refused to stop praying as he had done before time, and he was cast into a den of lions, but he came out alive and he was promoted. Their reward was in the refusal. And I want to hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant," one day. Well, we do well when we refuse sometimes. That's well doing, when we refuse. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, the scripture says. Jesus in the wilderness was tempted, and three different times he refused the offer. Turn these to stone. Throw yourself off this pinnacle. All these things. Fall down and worship me. Just over and over. And each time it is written, it is written, it is written. He refused to give in. And it said that angels came and ministered, and he returned in the power of the Spirit, and he began to preach. The preservation of our purpose sometimes depends on our refusal. What if Jesus had given in? He said, well, it couldn't happen. It could have happened, but it didn't. He was tempted in all points, such as we are. And what if he had given up? What if he had given in? Where would we be? But he knew, I got to go. To this end was I born. And I'll do this. So I'm going to have to refuse some things along the way. Don't accept an easy answer from the enemy. Don't be like Esau that comes in just because he's hungry. Well, I'll give you my birthright for this pot of porridge, these beans, and I'll sell my birthright to you. No, refuse that. If that hunger hits you, refuse to let go of what's precious just for a temporary feeling. You think that man didn't ever get hungry again? Come on, he'd been hungry before, and he didn't die. But he just had to have it, had to appease that flesh. And I know we're getting close to time, honey, if you want to come on up, getting close to time. You know, Joseph, God had purpose for Joseph. And all along the way, things tried to stop him. His brothers betrayed him, threw him in a pit, sold him into slavery. Now he's at Potiphar's house and Potiphar's wife. Daily, Joseph, lie with me. God forbid. Lie with me. God forbid. You know the thing about this? He said, I'm not going to sin against. He said, your husband has put everything here under my hand, and he trusts me. And I'm not going to do this to him. And I'm not going to sin against God in doing this. You know what's crazy about this is there was no Ten Commandments yet. There was no written law from God yet that it would even be a sin. But he said, this will throw me off track. And he refused it. Well, look what his refusal got him. Got him lied on and thrown in prison. And that was just the pathway to the palace. He needed to be there so he could interpret dreams, so that someone could tell the king there is an interpreter, so he could get to the palace. He refused to just give in to his flesh. You know, it said it wasn't nobody but him and her in the house that day. Who's going to know about it? That's when that refusal is most powerful. Well, nobody's going to know. That's when you, right then and there, you got to say, nope, I refuse. I refuse. Let's stand together this morning. I know I didn't quite get through here today, but that's it. The reward is in the refusal. You'll read it over and over again. Hebrews chapter 11, the chapter of faith, says that some were tortured, but they would not accept deliverance, that they might get a better reward. And they refused. They were torturing them, saying, just give in, just recant, just can't the name of Jesus. Just do it. And they wouldn't do it. Nope. And they gave their lives doing that to receive a better reward. And you read about them over and over again. They refused to accept. They said they received the dead back to life. You know, all kind of things happened. They grew valued in fight. All kind of things. Just things happened because they refused to give up. Refused to not have faith in God. Refused to give in to their flesh. The reward is in the refusal. God has given us the victory. And I refuse to accept anything less than that. I will not accept words of defeat. I will not let the enemy whisper negative things in my ear. I'm not going to let my own emotions take me out of this race. I'm going to run this race with patience, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. Let's lift our hands and pray together. Lord, thank you this morning for your word. And thank you for giving us a refusal in our spirit. Lord, we accept everything from you, but we refuse and reject the things of this world. We are not of them that draw back, but we are of them that believe unto the saving of the soul. Lord, today, let this word find good ground. Let it grow in our heart. Let it grow in our spirit. Let it become part of our daily walk, that we refuse anything less than what you've got for us. We refuse anything less than the victory you've got for us. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Give him a hand clap of praise this morning. God's great. God's great. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.